let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. It's called the best handbook for understanding the future since Alvin Toffler's Future Shock. Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness by William Howell explores a vision for the next stage of human evolution, ways in which humans must change their thinking to solving pressing end-of-the-world challenges. Beyond Knowledge provides a wealth of evidence and examples of an emerging global consciousness driving the world to grow up and resolve this global crisis. William Howell, Ph.D., is a professor emeritus at George Washington University. He has published 7 books and hundreds of articles, consults to corporations and governments, is a frequent keynote speaker, served as a major in the U.S. Air Force, an aerospace engineer on the Apollo program. He was cited by the Encyclopedia of the Future as one of the top 100 futurists in the world. And William Howell, author of Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Rick. Thank you.
Such an important topic, and you start off by talking about we as humans have backed ourselves into a catastrophic corner. In fact, you call it a global mega crisis. Tell us where we are as a civilization today.
Well, what this book is about is it's a study of social evolution, really, and it uses historical data to chart the rise of civilization through various stages of development, agriculture, industry, services, knowledge. And following knowledge, now, right now, we are entering an age of consciousness, because consciousness logically follows knowledge. Everything beyond knowledge is consciousness. And that's why we see all of this crazy behavior around us today. You know, the post-factual phenomena, Rick. The left wing is concerned about being woke and canceling culture and all of that. The right wing is still focused on the Trump election and the vaccination problem and all of that. So it's an unusual period in history. We're entering an age of consciousness right now. Right now we are living beyond knowledge.
It's a fascinating concept. The book is receiving rave reviews. You'll find it wherever books are sold. Send it to Amazon, the usual places. Website, bellhalal.com, and that's H-A-L-A-L.com. We'll have all this on our website, and beyondknowledge.org. Get information on the book there as well. So let's talk about the digital revolution. Is the digital revolution driving this age of consciousness?
Absolutely. What's happening is very interesting. If you look at the structure of consciousness, which the book does, it maps consciousness as a hierarchy from objective consciousness or objective factors like perception and learning and knowledge to subjective factors, emotion, values, beliefs, vision. Those are two fundamentally different kinds of consciousness, and that's well recognized in the scientific community. And what's happening is AI and the digital revolution is automating the objective stuff. That's what computers are good at. So that's being automated by the digital revolution, and the result is it's forcing attention up higher into the higher realm of consciousness, into the subjective realm. And that's why we're seeing this explosion of values and beliefs and emotions and all of that stuff. And it's really divorced from reality. It's divorced from factual knowledge, which makes it clear that this is consciousness. It's subjective.
You know, it's interesting. We think that technology is good, but it offers great promise, and it does. We've come so far in the last several decades, for example. But you talk about it poses great threats, and as you read the book Beyond Knowledge, you realize those threats are very real, aren't they?
Oh, it's devastating. It's a great challenge of civilization. It's a challenge of maturity, as I see it, because the book charts the life cycle of evolution through these various stages, and it's a life cycle. So life cycles come to a conclusion. They end. It's the life, like the life cycle of a human being or a growth of bacteria. It's a very, very precise S-curve. We're coming to the end of that life cycle right now, so it's the culmination of civilization, and the challenges are enormous. I recently saw a New York Times article that quoted the results of a survey of 10,000 people, and the results show that 55% of people think humanity is doomed. Doomed.
Amazing.
55%. That's how serious the issue of climate is. And then in addition to climate, we have the pandemic, and we're going to see more pandemics because the conditions for pandemics are rife. Jet travel, for instance. And there are just an endless stream of challenges that have to be confronted if we want to have a sustainable civilization.
Bill Howell is our guest on the program. He is the author of the book Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness. All of the information on the book available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I'll give you all the information as we go through the program. It's interesting you talk about the self-interest that's so rampant in our society. But this is not going to get us out of this crisis, is it?
No, that's really the problem. It's the prevailing mindset,
yes.
Rick. The prevailing mindset is what we inherited from the Industrial Revolution, the Protestant ethic, economic man, self-interest, money, power. Those things served us well for the last 100 years or so. But they're antithetical to what's needed now. We have a de facto global world. It's unified. The economic systems are unified. The ecological systems are unified. The IT systems are unified. But the political systems are not. And we need a different mentality, a different mindset, what we call global consciousness, to see the world as a whole. That has to be managed as a whole. The pandemic is a good example. A pandemic is a global phenomenon. It's a global problem. You can't solve it with local solutions. You need a global solution, and that's what we need now, a global consciousness. A good example of global consciousness is the response of the world to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Large parts of the world, almost the entire world, just stood up and supports this dramatically. The world has come together in support of Ukraine, and that's an example of global consciousness, I think. A simple example, but it is an example of global consciousness.
You know, it's interesting, with all of this technology, we would think we would be, in theory, the best informed generation ever. Yet it seems to all of this technology sort of amplifying the disinformation that's out there.
Yeah.
How do you
exactly
see this working out? We should know more, but we're sort of, we don't look for affirmation. We don't look for information. We look for affirmation, I think, when we're looking for news sources.
Yeah, consciousness is a funny thing. We don't know much about it. It's a mystery to science. And at first blush, you would think that consciousness would imply enlightenment. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing the opposite,
yes,
of enlightenment. So it reminds us that consciousness is really a huge domain in its own right. And just like knowledge, it can include bad knowledge and bad consciousness. And we're seeing a lot of bad consciousness, you know, anger, hostility, conflict, all of that sort of thing. So consciousness is a huge new frontier. We have to tame it if we want to have a sustainable world. And that's an enormous challenge. I don't think we know how we're going to tame this, but we have to.
You know, it's interesting. You offer five principles, things that we need to do. One is treat the earth and all life forms as sacred. Do you see us making any progress? We know about the impact of climate change, yet for some people, they're dug in and thinking it's just part of a cycle that nature goes through. Are we making any progress in putting the earth in the proper place and respecting it?
Well, that's a tough question. There are lots of people feel this way, of course. I mean, that's why 55% of the population, according to the survey, thinks we're doomed unless we do something. And, you know, this man who set himself on fire in front of the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago, it's reminiscent of the Vietnam War.
Exactly.
That's how serious it is. So there's a lot of sentiment out there, but it hasn't coalesced, I don't think. The progress is so slow, and it's hard to know what's going to change it. The U.S. leadership, I think, could have a big impact, but we don't we're not providing the leadership. If we were to really move on climate change seriously, I think we could get other countries to come along, but we're not. I don't know. I think the problem is going to get more severe, and that will create pressure to act. And so I think it's a question of how much pain are we prepared to endure before we take action.
You also talk about govern the world as a unified whole, and we seem to be here America first. And I'm reading that, and boy, that would be great if we can do that. Do you see us moving in that direction at some point?
Well, in a way we are. Again, this is another enormous challenge. That, by the way, that this doesn't mean big government or totalitarian government or eliminating diversity. It simply means that parties should cooperate when it's in their self-interest. The pandemic's a great example. If the world were to cooperate on future pandemics, we could get that under control. But it takes cooperation to do it. So it's really a very rational idea. And it should be acceptable to everybody who's reasonable about this. And I think these things will come into being. I'm optimistic. My company, TechCast, it's a project that I've been running for 20 years. We pool the knowledge of 200 experts around the world to forecast breakthroughs. And we forecast a global consciousness will emerge about the end of this decade, plus or minus about 5 years. So I think there's hope this will happen, but it's not certain that by any means. This could get really dangerous. We could blow it. We could reduce civilization to something that we don't like.
Well, your book is a vital part of turning the corner and getting where we need to be, beyond knowledge, how technology is driving the age of consciousness. Bill Hallal is our guest on the program. That's H-A-L-A-L, his website, BillHallal.com, beyondknowledge.org, another website. And, of course, books available wherever books are sold. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. How does a mental spiritual revolution, do you see that likely to kickstart the shift of consciousness?
Uh-huh. Well, using the framework of social evolution, which is the basis of this book, every stage in evolution has been driven by a revolution in thought. The industrial age, for instance, it was the Protestant ethic. Max Weber, the great sociologist, showed that it was the Protestant ethic that drove capitalism. And, you know, we just talked about that a minute ago. And so that implies that there is likely to be a mental revolution sometime soon in this age of consciousness. And that's what I just spoke about a minute ago. We think a global consciousness is likely to emerge about 2030. And that would be a revolution of thought. It would require all of us to think globally instead of our self-interest. I know that sounds almost impossible. But, you know, that's the way this has always been. Back in 1980, I remember when I was a young professor, I could see the beginning of the personal computer. That was when computers filled rooms. And I would tell people, you know, I think we're going to see personal computers. And the reaction was, why would anybody want a personal computer? It seemed impossible. But yet here we are today with an average of 2 computers per person. We spend all our time staring at screens. So it happened. And I think the age of consciousness is going to evolve roughly in the same way. We can't imagine it now. It's complex. But it will happen, and in 10 or 20 years, we'll be living in it, and we will understand it. But right now, it's just a frontier, and it's confusing, and I understand that people resist this idea. But I think the key is to have faith in the powers of social evolution. That social evolution is beyond all of us. It's rolling on relentlessly. Despite all of the ups and downs and the wars and that sort of thing. And if you can see that, this trend, this very precise trend of social evolution driving us into consciousness, then I think you can have some hope that this is going to work out.
William Hallell is our guest on the program. We're talking about his book, Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness. We'll take a break and much more on today's program, This Week in America, back after these messages. Back, you're listening to This Week in America. Our topic is the book Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness. William Hallell is our guest on the program, H-A-L-A-L. His website, billhallell.com, beyondknowledge.org, another website. Book available, of course, Amazon, the usual places. Talking about this whole technology, and everything comes back with that, and that's fascinating, talking about computers that took up a room. We're doing this, and I basically have a small computer strapped under my wrist, checking times and messages throughout the day. It's amazing how far we've come. Yeah. So how do we manage our minds? How do we get them to cope with what some describe as a slightly crazed high-tech future? How do we reconcile all of that?
That's a good question. Well, you know, one of the chapters in the book focus on what I call technologies of consciousness. And I like the term technologies because it makes it clear that this is powerful. We use various things to shape consciousness now, but we don't think about it. Like you drink coffee in the morning to pick you up, and you have an alcohol and some kind of a wine or beer at night to calm you down. So we do these things. And I've listed all of the different things that we use to alter our mood, our consciousness. And I think we're going to have to start focusing on that. Just the way in the last 20 years of the knowledge age, we focused on the information technologies. You know, we're up to our necks in all of this stuff, applications and various platforms and so forth. And we have to do a counterpart of that in an age of consciousness. We have to work on finding methods to shape our consciousness for our own personal good, because the world is getting more complex and more overwhelming, filled with anxiety.
Yes.
And just to keep ourselves stable and to know what we want to do with our lives is a challenge. But it also implies changing consciousness for the world as a whole. In fact, one of the big projects I'm starting now with a group of other people is to build a platform that will help people experience global consciousness. It will show people what global consciousness is like, and it'll help them actually experience it, because that's the biggest challenge we face right now, I think, to change our mindset.
In the book, you give us a number of cases, examples of emerging global consciousness now driving the world to grow up and to face this global crisis. What are some of the positive examples out there? I've been negative talking about some of these issues that seem to be dividing all of us. What are some of those that you see as positive examples?
Well, I think the most promising thing is the change that's happening in corporations. It's so surprising that the corporation really is leading the way, because 2 years ago, the Business Roundtable, the most prestigious group in American business, announced the end of shareholder supremacy. That is, profit is no longer the only goal of business, and they accept the legitimacy of the interests of employees, customers, public, and so forth, as legitimate business goals. That is revolutionary. And business is moving in that direction. They call it ESG, environment, social, and governance. But I don't think they fully appreciate the significance of this yet. I was amazed that Fortune magazine published an article of mine that is a full-throated call to transform capitalism into what I call democratic enterprise. The fact that they would publish it tells me that it's almost here.
Yes.
That they would not have published this 10 years ago. So I think business is moving in a direction where it's going to serve social needs as well as money. That is going to change the world. And it will provide a model of cooperation among the various parties to the business, you know, the stakeholders. And so I think that business could lead the way into this new era, surprisingly. Most people have a hard time believing that, because they have such horrible impressions of business as greedy and so forth. But I think we could be surprised to see business lead the way into this new era.
One of the chapters in Beyond Knowledge is virtual education, the uneasy shifts from teaching to learning. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, this is tough for educators because as a professor, I'm so aware that the canon of academics is knowledge. I mean, that's what academia is all about, knowledge. Creating knowledge, storing knowledge, passing knowledge on. And here I am coming along saying, talking about beyond knowledge. So this is a real challenge for academia. And what it means, it doesn't mean that knowledge is no longer important. It's still extremely important, of course. It simply recognizes that beyond knowledge, there is an entire world of consciousness. And that frames all of our knowledge. You can't talk about knowledge without really getting into the values that inspire it, the belief systems. So consciousness really is all around us. It's an enormous new universe, a domain, and academicians are starting to learn that they have to address that. Students, for instance, the biggest problem students face is not learning, but just keeping themselves stable. Students are struggling with depression, anxiety, all kinds of horrible problems, and it's got nothing to do with learning. It's just the stress of education. And so universities and I think elementary schools also have to start thinking about the whole student and give students control over the process so it becomes self-learning with the help of the faculty. And that would be a revolution in education, I think.
You close the book, Chapter 10, Evolution's Climax, The Flowering of Human Spirit. We've got a couple minutes left. Talk about that. And do you see, and it sounds like you're optimistic, that you will actually see very soon, hopefully, the flowering of the human spirit?
Well, I am. And I know many people are not. Many people have a very hard time finding anything good to believe in. The last few decades have been terrible. So it's understandable. But that's been the case throughout history. Crises that lead to breakthroughs. That's just the way evolution proceeds. And as the pain is going to become more severe in the next few years, next decade or so, for instance, the 2024 presidential elections in the States is going to be a very critical period, I think. It's going to be a moment of truth. What country, kind of country do we really want?
Yes.
And so pain's going to get more severe. And at some point, I think the mass of humanity will say, enough, we've got to change the way we think, and they will adopt a global mindset. And I'm doing my best to try and encourage that with this Global Consciousness Project, for instance.
How do you feel getting the word out there and having people talk about your book, Beyond Knowledge, and maybe looking at the world problems in a whole different perspective? How important is that to people to begin this conversation?
It's the most important thing we should be doing, and it's the most fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
We're so privileged to live at a time when the world is changing so dramatically and when it's reaching maturity. It's amazing. And if we could just see the possibility of a mature world that solves the problems of scarcity and war and conflict, it's all right there waiting for us. All we need to do is to imagine it, to envision it, and we could make it a reality. That's where change starts. That's what all business people know, that if you want a new product or a new venture, you start by envisioning it. And after you envision it, if it's realistic, you make it a reality. And that's where we are now. We have to understand this and envision it, and then it can become a reality.
Well, the book is called The Intellectual Manifesto for Our Times. The book is Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness. The author is William Hallowell. The book is available at Amazon at his website, which is billhallowell.com. That's H-A-L-E-L.com. BeyondKnowledge.org. You can get information, order the book there as well. Book I mentioned, Amazon, it's available wherever books are sold, and we'll have links to all those websites on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Time went by too quickly. A fascinating conversation. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program today.
you, Rick. It was a joy.
It was a pleasure having you with us, and the book is Beyond Knowledge, How Technology is Driving the Age of Consciousness. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.